There was a lot of prayer requests for those who've lost people and lots of sickness and illnesses in there. So just remember to keep those people in your prayers throughout this week as well. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 1 tonight. I want to help you with something here tonight. I want to talk with you about some of your pains and your sufferings individually. And let me give you a little background here for a minute before we start. But God's people have not been obeying God. They have not been obedient. They've been rebellious against God and His ways, and most of them have chosen to live the life of the world. And God uses some discipline there to get them thrown into captivity, and they have lost they have been pulled away from their city and their families, and now they are in captivity and. They are in Babylon, and so they are in they are scattered, and so they've lost it all, and so the people are in dire need. They are hurting, and they are in some serious pain, and they have lost. And so tonight, I want to share with you some things on how we can work through loss. We are very stubborn people in America. We feel like we're smarter than we are. We feel like the more education that we get, that we put people below us. We feel like many people feel like because they don't want to, they can't be around certain people because they're beneath me. We are very, very driven that way in America. We should not be, because we are supposed to be a nation that is believing in God. But we find ourselves doing things against God, but still claim that we believe in God. And so what we find ourselves here in America is many of us are very, very selfish. And tonight I want to talk to you about hurt and pains, because some of us, we see pains of others, but we don't hurt for them. We see the suffering of people, and yet we are not moved. We see people in agony. We see people in death and dire need, yet we watch, and the most that you can get out of many people is, aw. And that's so sad. And we walk on and we go along on our busy way. I want to tell you, God's people were kind of just like that until the day of reckoning came for them. And the enemy came in and destroyed them and took them off into captivity. Now I want to remind you that God didn't allow it to happen because He didn't love them anymore. God allowed it to happen because He does love them. He gave them forewarning to get their lives together, but they chose not to do that. So we find here that Nehemiah is in the... He works in the palace, and we find here in a moment where a family member of his, a brother and some men, were passing by, and he knew where they were, and he wanted to find out how things were going in so-called back home. I want to pick it up in Nehemiah chapter 1 here, in verse 3. So he's saying that he wanted to question them about the Jewish remnant and what happened with the exile and about Jerusalem. And this is what they said in verse 3. They said to me... So they said to Nehemiah, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept for some days. I mourned and I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I want to tell you, there is a place sometimes in our lives where we come to a place, and I want to tell you, I want to be straight up and honest with you. Some of you are here tonight, and you need to know that you can't get through what you're going through without a divine intervention by God Himself. America needs a God intervention. We need a God intervention in America today. This church needs a God intervention on a regular basis. This community needs a God intervention in it. And we ourselves need God intervening into our lives on a daily, weekly basis. We have gotten to a point, there's nothing wrong with education, there's nothing wrong with big churches, but we got to a place where we're looking at the wrong things and not looking at the right one. And we need to remember that calamity and problems and disasters can hit at any time. Do you remember 9/11 where you were at 9/11 when you saw the first plane strike the first tower? It hits you like something that you felt almost, you took it personal. where it was a part where the second plane hit the second tower, and you felt, now you become to feel, you felt, wow, well, you were shocked at what was going on. You couldn't really believe what your eyes were seeing. And then you saw a plane hit the Pentagon, and you saw that, and then you saw what was happening there, and then they couldn't help but to turn you out to the fields of Pennsylvania, where there's a commercial airplane that took a dive in the cornfields out there. And at that moment, that night, when you lay your head on the pillow, you begin to pray. And you, many of us prayed to a God that we knew, but people, many people were praying to a God they did not know. They were praying to a God that they haven't talked to in a long time, because they came to a place where they could not fix it. We had a moment in our life where we could not fix the problem. And it didn't matter where people were, most people, whether it was a Democrat, Republican, or whatever it may be, in the morning when we saw President Bush there on a bended knee, we felt violated as a nation. We felt like we were hit and we were attacked as a nation, and we were broken. We were broken in that moment. We were a broken people. Yet through that and through time, we found out that we were not broken. We were broken by our pride. We were broken by our finances and the time. We were broken, but we were not broken. Most of us were not broken in the heart and the soul and the spirit of who we are. People said the churches will begin to fill up, but they didn't. There were some that did, but it didn't last but about 4 or 5 weeks. It did not last. Here, we're talking about a people that God already told them, it's going to be 70 years. You're going to be in captivity for 70 years. Ain't going to be for just a few moments, but for 70 years, you're going to be in this moment. But here it is, and we see this information being brought over to Nehemiah. He is a man that God chooses individuals that are just really different. God chooses people that other people would never pick. God chooses people you would never think he would choose. He picks the people you wouldn't, basically. Because we try to size people up by their resumes and by all that they know. God sizes people up by their heart and their faith. A heart and faith is not what you drive. Your heart and faith is not what you own. Your heart and faith is not where you work. Your heart and faith is what not who your last name is, but your heart and faith is who you are in Jesus Christ. And God chooses the man here. And this man hears this news, and he is broken. He is broken for people. And these people are in captivity of their sins. So sometimes disasters happen because of we are just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Disasters happen. They can happen at any time. Disasters happen because we live in this world. Disasters can happen because people cause disaster. Disasters can happen. In any way and anyhow. But sometimes disasters happen because of our own choices. We end up in the hospital because of a choice that we made. We end up in jail because of a choice we made. We end up in a divorce because of a choice that we may have made. We ended up with loss because of a choice that we made. And we need to come to a conclusion here that I need to take care of some personal business. We need to take care of personal business. We need to take care of it. And here Nehemiah says, I need to take care of a couple of things. This breaks me. He had days that he spent mourning for his people and for the city that he lived in. I want to tell you, he was not just concerned about himself. He was concerned about his home, his people, his city, his family, everything about him. He was concerned about. He was a broken man at this point. He says, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. He cried for other people. He cried for the brokenness. He said, for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He did. He said, this is what I did. I fasted and I prayed before God. And we're going to look at what he prayed about, because it's different than what and how we would pray. But he gives us a great example and a guideline, and maybe just a way that we ought to pray in our daily life and how we live. Because if you can start to learn to take your eyes off yourself and start putting them on what God's eyes are on, the people, the brokenness of the world, I'm telling you, you'll begin to see God move in ways that you've never seen him move. And he'll probably move in your life as well. Because if you're around the things of God, you're going to be around his things where he's moving. He's going to move in your life. But God's not going to do it if you're not going to do your part. Some of us are in a mess because we chose to be there. Now, we don't want to be there no more, But now because we're hooked up with chains and we're captive to that sin, until we deal with that the appropriate way, it's still going to be our sin, and we're still working, and we're still trying to figure it out, we're doing it in the wrong way. But he opens it up here in a big piece. He's going to open up his prayer in a major piece. He says this, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of the love and those who love him and obey his commands. But he says, O Lord, God of heaven, great and awesome God. If you pay attention to some people that pray here, they start that way. They acknowledge who God is. They put God in the forefront. They put God in the first part of their lips. They're not thinking about what they're going to pray for. They may know in their hearts and their minds, but they don't go there so quickly. They begin to get to this place where they acknowledge who God is. Now I want to tell you right now, if you want to talk about your problem, God wants to hear it, but you better acknowledge who God is. You better acknowledge who God is, because you're going to stand in front of the one that can handle it. And if you're going to stand in front of the mighty God of... if you're going to stand in front of King Jesus, you better acknowledge that he is King Jesus. And there is only one King Jesus, and he is the one, and he is the one that died for all mankind. If you reached out and grabbed a hold of that salvation, you reached it, you have an opportunity, because he sits at the right hand of God interceding for you and I. He's going to listen to your prayer. He's going to intercede for you. But I want to tell you, you better acknowledge who he is. You better acknowledge the Father. You better acknowledge the Holy Spirit. You need to acknowledge who God is. Don't acknowledge your problem. God can deal with that. God can work with your problem. He can work with you if you're a big cold mess or a hot mess or whatever. He can handle that. But I want to tell you this. You're not getting anywhere until you acknowledge who God is. Amen? God is God. He is your Savior. And if you know Him and you pray to Him, you better know that He is God and He is in control. Let go of the steering wheel. He is real good about steering lives. We're horrible with it. We are horrible with steering our lives. We are horrible drivers of our own life. We are horrible, and then what we do is we step back and we look at other people and we ask for other people's advice who are horrible at driving their life. And so we find out that everybody's crashing, but it's the one that stops to put the brakes on and says, wait a minute. It's not that I just believe in God, but I need to acknowledge that there is a God. That God is a part of my life. That God wants to handle what I have. So Nehemiah says this, after much prayer and much fasting and much weeping, he says, I've got to acknowledge who God is, because our people have forgotten who he is, and I'm going to acknowledge God. That's the first thing that he does. It's not about him. It's not about his problem. It's about God. Acknowledging who he is. Putting God on the throne. Now, it's not that we got to put him there, because he's already there. But it's us acknowledging that he's there. That he holds us in his hands. That we are the creation. That we are slaves to Christ. Listen, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because if you are a slave to Christ, and you have a master that loves you, you have a master that gave his life for you. So I enjoy being called a slave of Christ. People say, how dare you say slave? Listen, I want to be called a slave of Christ, because I got a master who is an owner of me and who has bought me with his blood. Amen? Bought you with his blood. And he redeemed you out of that mess. He brought you back. He sanctified you. He separated you. Now you can live a life of righteousness. Even though when you mess up, you're still called to be a righteous person and live a righteous life. And he says, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. And it sets him in place. It puts him where he needs to be in perspective of this conversation and prayer that's getting ready to take place. God, you're God, not me. Then he moves through and he says, you're the one who keeps his covenant. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commandments. I want to tell you, God doesn't need to be reminded of that. We just acknowledge it. And it's for us. Our prayer words, many of our prayer pieces are for us. God, do you remember that you said, if I draw to you, that you'll draw to me? Listen, that's you speaking, and that's the Holy Spirit really speaking through you. And your conversation with him, he's giving you the words through you. And he's saying this, Lord, you're the God of love. You're the covenant of love. And you love those who keep your commandments. But he says, let your ear be attentive to your words. In verse 6, and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants. He's saying, listen, I am a servant. That's who I am. If you got the Holman version, it'd probably say slave. But here it is. He puts him in his self. He puts himself where he needs to be. And he's asking God to hear his prayer. Now he knows, but this is setting up for prayer. He's getting ready to do. He's ready to going to ask for something, but he's still got some things he knows that he needs to do. So he acknowledges God where he is. He acknowledges who he is. He's the servant. And he says, I've been before you day and night. I'm praying for your servants, the people of Israel. He says, I confess. Now he's going to step into, a room. He's going to step in between God, between the people and God. He's going to come into this place and he says, I confess the sins. We Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. What he's saying is that he comes to this place. Now I want to tell you, you can do that. I've done that several times. I've confessed the sins of this church before God. You can do that. You can do that too. Lord, you can go to the Lord. Lord, I want to ask, Lord, that you would forgive me of my sins, but Lord, not just mine, but the church's sins. There are things going on, Lord. We're asking you that as a church that you would forgive us of our sin, because listen, we don't always act like a Christian in church. We don't always love those who don't look like us. We avoid those who we think are under us. And when we talk bad about those who we think are thinking about that are over us, but they've never said a word, but you have this thing in mentality in your mind that you think somebody thinks they're better than you. They never maybe said that, but the devil uses words to get you everybody all mad. So we don't love each other as we should. And he's saying, I'm confessing the sins that we've forgotten you. And he says, not only am I confessing my sins, but I'm confessing my people's sins, but I'm also confessing my family's sin. I spend time praying because I think Job gives us that opportunity. Even though you may be an empty net, your children are out there and you don't have control of telling them what to do, but you can intercede for them. I intercede for my family, even my family. I have to. I need to. I see that scripture and that example being lived out in the scriptures. He says that we have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. I want to remind you that America was built on a lot of battles and a lot of fighting to become that free country. But it is a nation under God. It is supposed to be a nation under God. You can look at that on your money. You can look at it in a lot of places. It is a nation under God. We've not always acted like a people under the nation of God. But here's the problem with us as Americans. We need to get to a place where you're not hearing it much as maybe we used to. But we need to get to a place where we need to seek the forgiveness. And we need to confess our sins as a country. And I want to tell you something. It's not about Republicans and Democrats at all. It's not about that. It's not about he said, she said. Listen, that is when we play into that role, we are playing right in the devil's hands. I want to tell you, there are Christians that are Democrats, and there are Christians who are independent. There are Christians who are Republicans. There's lost Republicans, lost Democrats, and lost independents. Listen, I can believe that could be part of the downfall of America, because we just think everybody ought to be one party, when we ought to be a party to this. They claim Jesus when they want to claim Jesus, and then when it's not appropriate, they walk away and they step aside. Some of us need to get not so much involved in the politics, get more involved in the love of God and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you'll see a nation turn around. It isn't about all those other things. Those things are important, but they're not nothing. We put everything over the Word of God. We put everything over the actions and the works and the service of God and the fruits of God. And this is what happened with this nation. They put everything before God, and this is what happens. And it's right here in the Scriptures. We're reading it. These people were in captivity, and we think this cannot happen to America because we are Americans. Listen, we're still a young country. And every country, if you go through your history books, you'll see the rise and fall of Rome. You'll see the rise and fall of the European. You'll see the rise and fall of France. You'll see the rise and fall of Spain, the rise and fall of England. They all had a high point and they all had a low point. We just haven't had our low point yet. Does that scare you? Well, hopefully it just scares you closer to Jesus, because I thought we were just passing through. I thought I'm only here for a moment. I thought this wasn't my place. This is the place I'm just passing through. My home's in heaven. I'm good. I'm good. Sometimes under persecution, the gospel gets spread more. Things I say up here one day may end up getting arrested for it, and I may be calling you instead of me, you calling me. But he confesses the sins of the people. He confesses the sins because he knows that's what the problem is. And if you as a believer know, many times in our own household, we have problems in our life, and we know when we take a moment and we step back and we pray, we know that it's not that other person's fault. They may have been a part of the problem, but we know it's the choices that we've made that has put us in that situation. And then that becomes sinful, and that sins, those are ours. I committed that sin. And when we say, I committed that sin, we got one piece of business we need to take care of. We need to go to Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive us of that sin, and He'll get us straight, and He'll forgive us, because the Bible tells us in 1 John, He'll forgive us, He'll whip us all up, get us all up, clean us up, and He'll put us right back out there. And we need to learn from that. And so He says, here it is, we have acted very wickedly toward you. We've not obeyed the commandments and the decrees and laws that you gave your servant Moses. But we always do something sometimes when you're praying. Well, not always, but from time to time, we'll try to remember God. We'll try to get God to remember something. But it's not really that we're getting God to remember. It's our heart just coming out, and the Holy Spirit speaks through us. But He says, remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey commands, then even if your exiled people are at the far horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. What he's saying, he's saying, God, you remember, your word says if we don't do it right and we disobey you, you're going to scatter us. Okay, we got that. But your word also says that if we repent and we get it right, we start coming back to you, that you'll pull us to the farthest ends and you'll bring us back to the place where you want us to be. So he's telling him, I'm reminding you, God, of that. But God already knows that. But we need to hear it when we pray. We pray things that we just need to hear it. God's letting us hear it, and it's confirming, we believe, we are talking to God about it, but it's confirming, and the Holy Spirit's confirming that into us. Yes, it's the Word of God. He knows the Word of God. He says, they are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength. He's reminding, this is what you did, and your mighty hand. Oh, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer. How many times have you said, Lord, please hear me? Father, please hear me today. Of all days, I need you right now. Do you think God heard you the first time when you said, Lord, I need you? He did. But sometimes when we get desperate, and we need to be desperate at times, we need to plead the name of Jesus Christ, and we need to say, Lord, hear me, Lord, hear me now. Be attentive. Please hear my prayer, Lord. I'm asking you right now. Lord, I need you right now. I'm in a place that ain't nobody can help me. No one can help me. I need a divine intervention, that a power of God. Only by the power of God is this problem going to move. It's going to be taken care of. And I want to tell you something. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what's going on in the state of Indiana. When somebody calls out the name of God and starts getting to that place and they're calling on God, and I'm going to tell you something. All business and all the decisions made for this state, listen, somebody just intervened and poked right there into the house of God and said, God, I need you tonight. And I want to tell you, business is starting to get done in heaven and on earth. And that whole God begins to do things, and He's got them angels moving. He's got things moving. And I'm going to tell you, God intervenes in those who call upon the name of the Lord. God comes to those who plead for Him, and those who are serious about a change in their life, not just show, not just words, not just talk, but some action. But you got to get to a place where it all started. He heard the news, and he got down on his knees, and he began to fast and pray. He said, Lord, we're all messed up. Lord, my home's messed up. My family's messed up. We're messed up. Lord, I need to let you know that you are God. You are God of all things. You're my creator. Lord, I'm a servant. He gets through all that, and he says, here's what it is. We are sinners, Lord. What he's doing, he's bringing himself down. He's knocking all the chips off of his shoulder. It isn't about what our name is and about who we are. Here we are. We are just a complete mess. Lord, we're sinners, but we have one thing. We have one thing, and we have one thing. One thing on the shelf that works for us, and we forgot to use it, and it is the name of God. We are so deep. We are hopeless. We are in captivity. Nothing can help us except you. Now, I know right now some of you have made a prayer like that in your life, whether it's been in jail, maybe it's been in your alley, maybe it's been in your couch, maybe it's been in your car. For me, it was a truck at one time, another time it was a yard, because I'm telling you, for me, it's been more than once. It's been more than once, whether I was broke, whether I didn't know what to do, things were falling apart. Sometimes they were things that were just part of life. Other times it was spiritual warfare, but many of those times, it was just me making stupid choices, me making decisions that I shouldn't have been making, been doing, whatever it may be. But I want to tell you, every time I knew when I called upon the name of the Lord, I knew He was listening. I knew He was listening when I was either a good disciple, or mediocre growing, or falling back, or backsliding, whatever. I knew the Father is listening to His children when they call upon the name of the Lord. He is listening. He is listening. Sometimes I go through it and you finish it up and you're glad and you're joyful and you feel all filled up with the Holy Spirit and you feel good and you're ready to charge. Other times you're just like, man, I've been in the presence of the Lord. I just want to faint back just for a moment. God is awesome. I don't know what God's going to do right now, and it doesn't make a move, but you know right now, you laid it all on the line. You put it all, you put yourself, you opened yourself, you went bare naked before God. You confessed it all, you laid it out, you said, Lord, this is where I'm at. I'm in a mess. I don't know what's going to happen. You put it all out there, and then you were exhausted, and you were done, amen. And you got up, and you're like, I don't know what's next. But you know God heard your prayer. You know you have only this one thing that's left. And God sometimes lets you walk through a few days. He lets you walk through it through a few times because He says, listen, I heard you, but now I need to see your faith in action. Do you believe what you said? Are you looking for me around the corner? Are you looking for my hand to move? And I'm going to tell you, God is more excited about your life on earth than you are. But you got to do it His way. And God's people here are in a wicked mess. They are in a mess. Here in a mess. And now He gets to a place, He says, now I want to do something. He says, Lord, I remember now, if we do bad, we know what's going to happen, that you're going to scatter us. But if we get it right and we start to obey your commandments, you're going to bring us back no matter how far we've gone. Now listen, has some of us gone pretty far? Has some of us gone pretty far in our walk with the Lord? And He says, if you come back, He'll bring you back. Now it wasn't about losing your salvation. You're just a wayward child. You just a prodigal. You went all out and you did your own thing. You wanted your inheritance. You wanted to do your own thing. And God lets you out there in that pig swine box out there and let you live like a pig and act like a pig. And then you start smelling yourself and you start seeing yourself. And you look in the mirror and you go, who's that? And you find out that it's actually you. And you wake up to your senses and it's almost like God just kind of touches you on the shoulder. Are you done yet? And you wake up and you say, I got to get out of here. I got to go. And you know exactly where to go, don't you? You know exactly where to go when you got in that hole, didn't you? You go to God. Because you know. You're a child of His. You know. And then we get to that place. He says, they are your servants and your people. Give attentive to my ear. I got something else, Lord. I got something else. I want you to hear one more thing. Verse 11, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Now He says, I'm asking this one thing besides the forgiveness of sin. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. Now this man is going to be the king that he serves, because the next piece is, I was the cupbearer to the king. So he's cupbearer to the king. But he says, here it is. He's going to go to the man. He's going to go to the man who's in charge. He is the master. He is the one that's in charge of all. He's the king. He is the king. He's a foreign king. They are under his authority, under his reign right now. And it's the king. And these guys don't change their decrees very easy. They don't change promises. They don't change. So he's getting ready. He wants to go. Now, there's some things here that God's been working. We don't see it through Scripture, but we see it through the future Scriptures here. But I want to tell you, I believe God chose Nehemiah for this great task. But before Nehemiah could do anything, he had to get it right with God. He had to get himself right with God. He had to clean up the mess. He had to come in from the pig pen. Not that he was a bad guy, but he sinned too. But he had to come in for everybody. He had to jump in the bath after being in the pig pen. Worship up. The only way you can really truly worship is getting right with God and confessing your sins. He stands before God, and then he begins to ask that one piece, Lord, give me favor with this man that I'm about ready to go in the presence of this man. And we see it was just a little bit later, though. But Nehemiah, there's a vision that Nehemiah has. That's restoring what was lost in Jerusalem. The walls. Now, he's only heard of it right now. Soon we're going to see that he's going to see it. Let me ask you something. What has been destroyed in your life? What parts of your life have been knocked down? Do you have a heart where you can feel for the hurts and pains of others? Or is it just really about you and your hurts and your pains? I want to remind you that sometimes God allows pain for a purpose. And this is one purpose only, to draw you back to Him. To draw Nehemiah and the people of Jerusalem, the Israelites, back to God. What's it going to take for you to draw to God? And I'm not talking about just your attendance. I'm not talking about what you do. I'm talking about your heart, your spirit. What's it going to take for you? Because Nehemiah had to get his heart and his spirit right before he could do anything else. You can't do anything for God that amounts to anything until you get your heart and your right with God. God wants to use you, but you got to be ready. You got to be ready. You got to be set. You got to get it right. What have you lost? What's crumbled before you? What pains and sufferings have happened in your life because of choices that you've made? Now, we're going to see in the next few weeks, there's going to be a part of a process of rebuilding that. And you're going to find out, we're going to find out that one man can't rebuild it on his own. You can't rebuild what was torn down on your own. One, first of all, you need to know that you can't do any kind of work like that. You need God's divine intervention. You must have God a part of it. If your life has been torn down, you want to get it right with God, you got to let God put His hands on you and mold you and begin to work on you. Tell you, no, you don't need to be around that person. No, you've done, listen, that how'd that work for you last time? And God begins to work, and it's not an overnight success, but it is success through time. As they say, time heals, time also strengthens. And Nehemiah is just at the beginning of it. Now I want to close with this. Nobody heard anything. Nobody heard any of this except Nehemiah. You see, God will always intervene with a person one-on-one first. You didn't come to Jesus by a crowd. You didn't come to Jesus. Jesus may use preaching, may use whatever. He's going to use the story of the gospel. But it isn't a person. It is God touching the heart of a person, opening up that opportunity to receive Him. It is God touching your heart and convicting your heart, and nobody's telling you. Somebody may speak words into you. Hey, you know, you shouldn't really do that. And that angers you. And you shouldn't be going out with that person. You shouldn't be going here. You shouldn't be going there. And people get inside. And you say, get in your own business. But I want to tell you, the one that can touch your heart more than anyone, but it is God. The Holy Spirit convicts the hearts of His people. And you know what it is. You know what the conviction of the Holy Spirit is when you are tempted to do something that you know you shouldn't do. Take heed and listen. You'll find yourself not in the mess that you would be in like you used to make those decisions before. God speaks to His people. God allowed Nehemiah to feel the pain. Feel the pain. Feel the hurt. Feel it. And Nehemiah did. How do you deal with your own pain? How do you deal with your own hurts? I can't fix them. And I guarantee you, you can't fix them. But we know one who can. His name is Jesus Christ. And we're going to see him go to work in a mighty way. Everybody in the citadel and everybody in the palace is all doing their business. King's doing his business, queen doing her business. All the troops are out training, all the horses are out in the fields, the farmers are growing, whatever they're growing. But there was something going on in that city nobody even knew. A man called on the name of the Lord and said, God, you are the awesome God. Wow. And God's going to answer this man's prayer. He's going to come in a divine way. And I want to tell you, when God moves in a God divine intervention, I want to tell you, you can't help but deny that God was in the room. My question keeps coming back to the same question. How are you doing with your hurts and your pains? Some of our pains and hurts should have been gone by now. We're just not turning it all over to God. Tonight you can acknowledge him and who he is. You can acknowledge who you are. Confess your sins. And just let a moment soak in and let him just love on you for a minute. And ask him to restore your life.